Lecture topic, youth, the most endangered species, part 1.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة، وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار، وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء، وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله، وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: يا معشر الشباب، من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج، فإنه أغض للبصر وأحصن للفرج، ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم، فإنه له وداء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters and the listeners, Allah Rabbul Izzat has created the human comprising of a body and a soul. The body being external, being earthly, being physical, being tangible, while the soul is hidden, it's divine, it's intangible and it is invisible. The cure and the remedy of the external body is in the things of this world, because the casing of this human is from this earth. So when we say the human, he has been created from soil, it's not the soul of the human, it's the external of the human, it's the outer part of the human. But that's not the absolute human. The actual human, the real human, the true human is the soul. The entire focus of the world today is on beautifying, adorning this external human. So constantly the advertising world, we are bombarded with these advertisements: pre-laser, post-laser, pre-surgery, post-surgery, pre-orthodontics, post-orthodontics. The human from his anatomy, everybody is the same. النَّاسُ مِنْ جِهَةِ التَّمْثِيلِ أَنْكَاءُ أبوهم آدم والأم حواء، نفس كنفس وأرواح مشاكلة، وأعظم خلقت فيهم وأعضاء، فإن يكن لهم من أصلهم حسب يفاخرون به فالطين والماء. The poet says, if you want to boast on your anatomy, if you want to boast on your external condition, the choice is yours. Either you boast about soil or about water. There's nothing to rave about your complexion. I was reading the other day in Bahrul Muhit, what an amazing thing written in the testimony of Sa'id ibn Jubair. Somebody wrote in his biography, they say he was a man whose skin was dark but whose qualities were fair. كان أسود اللون أبيض الخصال. أسود اللون, his complexion was dark, but his attributes were white and pure. The very uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Lahab, his actual name was Abdul Uzza. He was known as Abu Lahab because he was the most striking young man. He was the blue-eyed boy. Just to put you into context in what the Arab perceived as beauty, a person fair in complexion with a twinge of redness on his cheek. This would epitomize beauty by the Arab definition. This was the pinnacle of beauty and handsome. But as they would say in the English language, that beauty and youth fade, but character endures. Beauty and youth fade. If a person is handsome, you say, hey, you know what, in his days he was good looking. Hey, but now he lost it. But when a person has the quality of good conduct and character, he stands out as a child. That's a sweet child. That's an obliging young man. That's a respectful teenager. That's a dignified adult. That's an adorable old man. Throughout the times and throughout the ages, his character will stand. So Yawuz Abu Lahab, better known as Abdul Uzza, the envy of every woman, the dream of every woman. Why was he known as Abdul Uzza or referred to as Abu Lahab? Lahab in Arabic means flame, means redness. So he had this flamy cheeks, coupled with this fair complexion, and he was given this name Abu Lahab because of his extraordinary and striking beauty. But tragically, he did not purify and protect and preserve and nurture his soul. And the absolute focus was on his external body. So the Arab loved him and honored him and revered him, but he neglected the soul. The Arabic poet said, لَا تَتْرُكِ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالًا عَلَى النَّسَبْ فَقَدْ رَفَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ سَلْمَانَ فَارِسٍ وَقَدْ وَضَعَ الشِّرْكُ الشَّرِيفَ أَبَا لَهْبٍ. Don't rely on your external beauty, that will take you through everything. Yes, in your hormonal spurt, as medically they would refer to it. Someone said we only have youth once, because that's all society can handle. We only have youth once. What's the definition of success in the mind of a young man? What is the key to success? The one that puts the ignition. What's the key to success in the definition of a young man? The one that fits into ignition. That is the key to success. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the riwayat of Bukhari, a young man clad in a beautiful dress, تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُهُ. He had an air about himself. He was flattered about himself. In English they say, the one who's wrapped up in himself makes a pretty small package. The one who's wrapped up in himself makes a pretty small package. And that's what each one has become today, wrapped up in himself. Wrapped up in himself. تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُهُ. Arrogant and obsessed. I have what it takes to impress, to mobilize, to attract, to convince, to mesmerize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the earth to split at that time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, with his pomp and his glory, his might and his arrogance, he went into the ground. So Abu Lahab, Abdul Uzza, known as Abu Lahab because of this reddish complexion. But he denounced the teachings of Islam. And he did not respect the seniors of his society. And I think I want to devote some of my time to that. And two calls I want to make to the youth. One is to start listening more attentively to your seniors. Really, we're going through a tragic period. I sit here not only as a humble scholar, but with the cap of a father on my head, trying to raise the youth of today. And I think the loggerhead that we're facing is the youth of today think they're too smart. Someone said the smartphone has made us more dumb than smart. We've given these names, and that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said when he spoke about substance abuse. And he spoke about drugs. And he spoke about all these things that will intoxicate the mind and destroy a person. So the Sahaba couldn't digest, because of their level of conviction, that a Muslim in his sane mind would consume this. So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, will a believer consume these intoxicants because the warnings will not reach him? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, they will play with the words and they will manipulate the phrases. So they will pop the same haram thing, but they will call it a tranquilizer. These are the words of the hadith, يُسَمُّونَهَا بِغَيْرِ إِسْمِهَا فَيَسْتَحِلُّونَهَا. They will legitimize its conception, its consumption by changing its phrase, by altering, by tampering with its name. Without digressing, coming back to Abdul Uzza, the uncle of Nabi alayhi salam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and then he gave his message, this beautiful, young, handsome, attractive man, he said, no, I don't need you, I'm a young man, I have what it takes to flex my muscles, my biceps, my six packs, and I don't know what and what. I have it all done. So he vehemently opposes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, تَبَّنْ لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمِ. The Quran uses the word tabba in different phrases. وَمَا كَيْدُ فِرْعَوْنَ إِلَّا فِي تَبَابٍ. وَمَا كَيْدُ فِرْعَوْنَ إِلَّا فِي تَبَابٍ. actually the plot of Pharaoh was in destruction. So he says, woe be to you, my nephew. Honestly, you wasting my time. You blow in hot air. You pollute in the atmosphere. The Prophet is very calm and composed. He wouldn't utter a word. He wouldn't retort. He wouldn't retaliate. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded. And Allah said, tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. How dare you ever use a word of derogatory, inflammatory, condescending, vituperative, nasty against my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm reminded of what Allama Nasafi has mentioned in Madarik al-Tanzeel under the commentary of Surah Nur. Walid bin Mughira again was a very high profile and influential and prominent man. In a nutshell, he one day accused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of insanity. He said it once. He said that, na'udhu billah, lamma aaba al-walidu rasulallahi bil-jununi. He leveled insanity against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah exposed 10 of his evils. To the extent that Allah blew the whistle on the infidelity of his mom. And Allah said he doesn't have an established lineage. He doesn't come from a wedded relation. So when this was revealed, as he mentioned in all the tafsir, he went to his mom. He said, Muhammad's Quran has exposed all my evils. And as arrogant as I am, I know I am like that. But his Quran concludes that I don't have an established relation and I don't have a lineage. My mom, it looks like you've been unfaithful. The Quran said, Zaneem. He said, yes, the Quran of Muhammad, oh my son, is the absolute truth. The man who you perceive to be your dad is not your biological father. So that's how Allah exposed him. Abdul Uzza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, opposed the Nabi of Allah. Allah said, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Woe be to Abu Lahab, and may his hands perish, with which he made nasty gestures to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. His wealth and what he had acquired did not assist him. And one tafsir of Aisha radiallahu anha in ma kasab is that his children and his offspring did not avail him in any way. Now when Allah speaks of Abu Lahab in this surah, Allah doesn't refer to him by his name. Allah also makes inference to him by his pet name. And Allah also uses the very same name which the Arab society had conferred upon him owing to his beauty and his striking features. But Tafsir Uthmani elaborates on a very critical point. And he writes that Allah used the same phrase, but with a different motivation. So Allah also said the reddish man, the flamey man, because that's what it literally means. Abu Lahab means the flamey man, meaning the redness of his cheeks, which was in owing to his beauty. So Allah used the same phrase, but not because of his beauty, but because of the blazing flames of Jahannam. Allah said that this beauty of yours is no avail if it's going to end up there. The famous incident of that woman who had committed zina. And she gave birth, and then she aborted. She had killed that child. And today we're hearing of it so often and so common. I had an email that came to me about 2 weeks ago. And a brother said, Sheikh, I write to you on behalf of a sister that she's going through some real challenges in her youth. She's of marriageable age. Her father denies her the right to get married. And she cannot contain her inner emotions and the hormonal changes that she's going through. She's resorting to haram measures. The father would not embrace the boy due to ethnicity and other reasons. Kindly advise, she has two abortions performed and the parents wouldn't reconcile and address the issue. So this woman had committed zina, and then she gave birth, and she killed the child, and she came to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The narration in the books of hadith is known as Qissatu Imra'ati Abi Huraira, the tale of the woman of Abu Huraira, the tale of the woman of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And she said, oh Abu Huraira, I'm a young woman. I'm a beautiful woman as you can see. Allah has blessed me with phenomenal beauty and attraction. Tragically, I had succumbed to an evil and I had committed this vice and the sin. As a result of that, I had conceived, I gave birth to the issue, and then I killed the child to conceal my wrong. Is there any hope for me? So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, no, your case is really tragic and it's a compounded sin, and I doubt there's any shelter for you. Sorry, but it doesn't look like there's any hope for you. So she stands up and she says, wa أَخُلِقَ هَذَا الْحُسْنُ لِلنَّارِ. You mean this beautiful face of mine will become the ashes of hell? You mean this beautiful, gentle, passive hands that nature has infavored me with will burn in hell? Is this going to be my condition? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, sister, I don't know. That's very emotional. That is left to Allah to decide. But in a nutshell, I don't see hope for you. Anyway, she left and she said, I have so much beauty and I cannot imagine that this is going to burn in hell. My young boy, Allah has given you so much talent. You brim in with your abilities. You have an outburst of your emotions. You're overwhelming with all this enthusiasm, this drive in you. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu meets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, O Nabi of Allah, this is what happened and this is what I told. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No, Abu Hurairah, what have you done? Have you not reflected over the verse? Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. Illa man tab, the one who repents, aman, embraces, amila saliha, performs righteous deeds, fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. This is amazing. Allah will convert their vice into virtue. Allah will convert their vice into virtue. There is such a beautiful, amazing, phenomenal exploration of the dynamics and the academics of this conversion in Ibn Kathir. So, what is meant by Allah converting vice into virtue? Some scholars say Allah will delete and erase vice and Allah will inspire you with the ability to do virtue. So that's one explanation. But Ibn Kathir says, no. Allah categorically, explicitly uses the word Allah will convert, Allah will replace, Allah will substitute. That's a compelling argument for us to believe that his vice is going to turn into virtue. That is why one young boy, after repenting, he addressed a saint, a pious man, and he said an amazing thing to him. He said, Sheikh, you're a great person. You're a learned man. But I'm optimistic I will have more reward in paradise than you. So he was alarmed. He was impressed. He said, why? He said, because Allah promises he will convert those who reform their vice into virtue. And as much as virtue you have, surely I know it won't equal my vice. Surely as much as virtue you have, the vice that I have. Ya Rabbi in azmat dhunubi kathra, falakad alimtu bi anna afwaka a'zamu, in kana la yarjuka illa muhsinun, fabiman yaludhu wa yastajiru al-mujrimu, ma li ilayka wasilatun illa al-rida, wa jameelu afwika thumma anni muslimu. Allah, with my one eye I look at my sin, with my other eye I look at your clemency, and with the corner with which I look at your clemency, it kind of convinces me and whispers to me and says to me, your clemency is far greater than my vice. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَدَدَ الْخَاطِئِينَ وَقَطْرِ السَّمَاءِ وَمِدْرَارِ. You know when Amr ibn Jamuh radiallahu anhu repented, and that also through his son inspiring him and motivating him, and then he praised Allah, he made some phenomenal tribute to Allah. He said, Allah, I praise you equivalent to the sins of the sinners. فَسُبْحَانَهُ عَدَدَ الْخَاطِئِينَ وَقَطْرِ السَّمَاءِ وَمِدْرَارِ هَدَانِ وَقَدْ كُنْتُ فِي ظُلْمَةٍ تَدَارَكَ ذَاكَ بِمِقْدَارِهِ فَحَمْدًا وَشُكْرًا لَهُ مَا بَقِيتُ إِلَهَ الْأَنَامِ وَجَبَّارِهِ أُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ إِذْ قُلْتُهُ مُجَاوَرَةَ اللَّهِ فِي دَارِهِ. He said, Allah, I'm grateful you've opened my eyes before I'm lowered into the darkness of my grave. Hopefully I can atone and amend and I can arrange for some lighting in my grave before I'm lowered. Allah, I'm grateful you've provided some lighting and you've opened my eyes before I can be lowered into the grave. So here is the woman of Abu Hurairah. What does Ibn Kathir say under this ayah? He says, and reflect over this. He says, when a young man repents, and he turns to Allah, then Allah literally converts his vice into virtue. Okay. The nature of the scholars are, they don't just make a pronouncement, they support it, they substantiate it. It's just not the easiest claim in it. Why? He says that every time he reflects over his vice, after reforming himself, it renews his regret. So when this young man has made tawbah, and he passes this place, he drops his gaze, in my bad days Allah is to frequent this place on a Saturday night, and every Saturday night there onwards in his life when he'll pass there, and he will even say to his son that, you know what, in my dark days I did this here. In my dark days this was my company. In my dark days that was my illegitimate relation. That was my illicit relation. So his wife, on a positive note, serves as a reminder to his regret and repentance. And every fresh regret is a fresh tawbah. Hence, his sin on a disguised note becomes a springboard for him to reach the heights of piety. So, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu goes back to this young woman and he says, I've got good news. He started doing a search to find her that she mustn't die without this hope. She mustn't die without this hope that Allah has given her hope. And that's what I want to say to you, my young brother, there's hope for you. I'm not saying the Quran is saying to you, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. And I say it often in my talks, I can translate this, but I cannot convey the emotions and the sentiments in this ayah. The verbatim, the face translation, the literal translation of this ayah is Allah is asking, leaving me and you going, my servant, where are you going? Where are you going? You're going to get lost. I'm translating it. Let me draw the parable closer to understanding. A mom excuses herself and she needs to go out. So she prepares the lunch of her son, she prepares his madrasa bag, she prepares his uniform, etc. She says to the dad, when my son comes back from school, give him a hug, give him an embrace, give him love, tell him here's his food, there's the drinks, here's his uniform, he can have his shower, his clothes, everything has been done. And everything, she spells it out in great affection, emotion and passion. But when the boy comes back, the dad is like, your mom said, there's the lunchbox, there's your clothes, there's your kurta bag, right? Assalamu alaikum. You can phone your mother if you don't know anything. I'm a father. I love you, my son. I'm not a mother. I'm not going to like. I cannot do that. I cannot do that. That's a mother and she's a mother. I can translate to you and say to you, oh my servant, Allah is asking, you've left me and you're going, where are you going? I cannot possibly confer to you the emotion and the attachment and the bond and the affection with which Allah asks His ordinary servant, where are you leaving me and going? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ أي عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ Qatada says, where are you forsaking the Qur'an and going? So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu comes back to this woman, gives her the glad tidings that this is what the Nabi of Allah says, that there is hope for you, this is the verse of the Quran, if you atone for it, then your beauty will be protected from the eternal flames and the eternal blazing fire of Jahannam. تَكَّادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ Allah speaking about hell, Allah says it wants to burst out of fury. It wants to burst out of fury. كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ Every time a group will be hurled into hell, the different torments, there will be psychological torment on them by the wardens and the custodians of hell that will ask them, so in this world while you were living, were you never told, were you never reminded, were you never warned, were you never cautioned? And that's the verse I recited before you. There is so much happening in the world. Honestly, when we look at the global events and the things that are unfolding, and I just mentioned it to someone, I was sitting with the family the other day and we were having an exchange in words, and just then the phone beeps and you get one of these video clips and you see the carnage and the massacre in Syria, and my tears welled up in my eyes, and I off the phone and I said to my wife, you pray two rakat, let me pray two rakat. Look at this, I told my children, how will you have the courage to do anything else other than turn to Allah in prayer, when at this critical, crucial moment, children that are totally innocent in the land of Syria, this is how they've been massacred and butchered. How will this play out in the court of Allah that I have died a death? Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi said, a believer never fears the death of his body, but he constantly fears the death of his soul. He never, because my physical body will die the day Allah has decided it, but my soul will die the day I neglect it. The day I forsake my soul, that's the day it dies. And if I've neglected it, the Quran said, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ. In a complaining tone, Allah says, then your hearts have hardened and they've become so rock hard. They've actually can be compared to boulders. Nay, in their hard nature, they are more rock than the boulders of this world. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَصْوَةً. Then Allah doesn't stop. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ. The worst tragedy that can hit any heart is when it becomes immune to tragedy. When it becomes immune, that's life, that's the norm. What can you do? Move on. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ هَلَكَتْ شَاتٌ فِي أَقْصَى الْعِرَاقِ لَعَدَدْتُ نَفْسِي لَهَا مَسْئُولًا. Let one animal die in the most remote part of Iraq, and that will take my sleep away. And thereafter, Umar, remember, you will have to answer to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Today I say it hurts me, my brother. But how much does it hurt me? Have I ever cried? I was speaking the other day and I mentioned this incident. One person brought his child to Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayh, and he wanted the Sheikh to bless the child. But the Sheikh, child, a baby, toddler, throwing a bit of a tantrum. So he tried to appease his child and he tried to lull his child, said, please don't cry. But then the Sheikh made such a profound statement. He said, as it is, there is a shortage of people to cry in this ummah. Let this baby cry. Maybe that attracts Allah's mercy. As it is, there's nobody left to cry. As it is, like I can see so much. Okay, yeah, that's tragic, but listen, what's happening Saturday? Where we up to? Where we hooking? Where we meeting? Where we going? Where we dining? Where we chilling? The Prophet of Allah said, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ تِرْمِذِي لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا وَمَا تَلَذَّذْتُمْ بِالنِّسَاءِ عَلَى الْفُرُشَاتِ وَلَخَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى السُّعُدَاتِ تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. If you knew what I know and you understand what Allah has revealed to me, you'll find it difficult to indulge in legitimate pleasure with your spouse. Today we don't know that, so it's become easy for us to dine with strange women while the world is in chaos and mayhem and anarchy. I can dine with haram, and the Nabi of Allah said, if you knew the truth, you will find it difficult to indulge in legitimate pleasure. وَلَخَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى السُّعُدَاتِ تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You would be then just crying and wailing and sobbing and cheering before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the point I'm saying here is, the world in which we live in, the absolute focus is on this external body. But like I said, Sa'id ibn Jubair, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, a man of dark skin. No external beauty. Imam Abu Hanifa said, I have, amongst my many teachers, I have two teachers. مَا رَأَيْتُ أَفْقَهْ مِنْ حَمَّادِ وَلَا أَجْمَعْ لِلْعُلُومِ مِنْ عَطَى. My teacher Hammad, I have never seen someone more articulate in jurisprudence than Hammad. And I haven't seen a greater inspiration to me than my teacher Ata ibn Abi Rabah, who goes down in history as the African scholar of African origin, dark skin, but fair in his qualities, white in his akhlaq. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. Some people are physically alive, but their character has killed them before they die. And others have moved on, but their character has kept them alive centuries after their demise. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ. Some have died, but their legacy has not died. Their legacy is alive, and they remain alive like this. They say, he lives a long life who lives in the hearts of people after his death. He lives a long life who lives a life in the hearts of people. And someone said, a long life might not be good enough, but surely a good life is long enough. A long life might not be good enough. People had long, long lives. Regarding Fir'aun, I read Bayezid Bustami mentioned, for 4 centuries the man didn't have a headache. For 4 centuries, a man. And this is one hadith we need to realize in the context of what's happening in the world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah la yumli al-zalim." Allah's system of dismantling, oppression and aggression and gripping and seizing butchers and killers throughout history has been, Allah extends His rope of clemency and grace. Allah never seizes a tyrant instantly. This is the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. And we need to understand this hadith because often, I met a revert the other day and he said, there's one ayah that makes me cry in the Quran. And I said, tell it to me. He said, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't for a split second entertain the thought that Allah is oblivious or heedless of the aggression and the killing of the tyrants. Innama. So then Allah, then why aren't you stopping it, my Allah? Allah, if it's happening so loud, so big, so macro, so vocal, so blatant, so arrogant. Innama yuakhiruhum. Innama yuakhiruhum liyawmin tashkhasu fihi al-absar. Allah is giving them grace and respite till that day comes when the eyeballs will be dazzled and overturned. But there's a duty to me, my brother. How do I change? You see, the polytheists of Makkah, they had made these nasty allegations. When they were told to spend on the poor, they tried to cite a contradiction in the Quran. And they said, one side the Quran says, whoever is wealthy by the decree of Allah, أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى, as the Quran says in the 27th Juz. Abhaq, Allah gives prosperity to some. Abka, Allah gives adversity to others. Amat, Allah causes death. Ahya, Allah revives. Aghna, Allah gives wealth. Aqna has two tafsir. Aqna, one, Allah gives poverty. Tafsir Uthmani. Aqna, the more common view, Allah gives him wealth to keep in his treasures. So these diverse conditions that prevail is the choice of Allah. So if Mr. A is poor, he's poor because Allah has willed him to be poor. So when they were told spend on the poor, they used to say, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمْ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ. Why should we feed people whom Allah doesn't want to feed? Because he's poor, because Allah wants him to be poor. So you're asking me, this was nasty, sarcastic, obviously evil, obnoxious, malicious, not clean and pure. So the ulama ikram explain that Allah wants to feed them, and Allah has decided to feed them, but Allah has put a system in place, and Allah has tested me to see that I reach out to them. Allah has put a system in place. Allah can hold the hand of a tyrant now. Allah can change the tides now. Allah can let peace reign on this earth. But Allah has His divine plan, and that will reign supreme. I have a moral obligation. I have a duty. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu returning from Syria at the borders of Syria. He seen an old aged frail woman. And he asked her, do you know Umar? She says, I kind of heard about him, but I constantly curse him and I hope Allah destroys him. So this Sayyidina Umar immediately backed off. And she said, why? You know, in English they say, the majority of us will prefer being destroyed through false praises than being rescued through objective criticism. The majority of us will prefer being destroyed through false praises. Praise me, flatter me, massage me, give me a thrill about myself. But Sayyidina Umar, the gentle giant, was ready to embrace it. Was ready to listen. Sister, why? Because he hasn't helped me. So she said, so Sayyidina Umar said to her, knowing not that she was speaking to Umar radiallahu anhu, that Umar is sitting in Medina, how can he keep himself abreast of an average citizen sitting on the borders of Syria? She said, it's simple like this. If he can't keep himself abreast, then he's not deserving of the post. If he cannot keep himself up to scratch, and he doesn't keep himself up to speed, then it hit the heart of Umar. It hit the heart of Umar. And this was Sayyidina Umar. And then immediately he made amends. Immediately he atoned. This was the beauty of Sahaba. When they heard it, they effected change immediately. Immediately. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu patrolling the streets of Medina, and then he overhears a child crying, and then he takes a sahabi with, and he says, sister, will you lull your child? And she says, I'll try. And after a little while, the child throws a tantrum. Sister, will you attend to your child? I'm trying, please, brother, will you bear with me? And then Sayyidina Umar says, you know what, it's a disruption to the broader society. Inni la araki umma su'in. You don't look like a very kind mother. So she said, forgive me, Umar, I'm trying to wean my child off. And ask a mother that's weaning her child off. It's emotional, the mother gets sick, the child gets sick, the woman goes through so many flushes, so many emotions, so many challenges. I'm trying to wean him off early, because the Khalifa has provided an allowance only for children that have been weaned off. My financial muscle is not viable to sustain me. I'm trying to expedite the process, wean my child off and secure more revenue. She says, La ta'jili, sister, don't hasten, hang on. We might be having a change and we'll amend and we'll legislate and we'll look into this. He then goes home and he cries. He comes and leads the Fajr Salah. Ma yastabinu an-nasu qira'atahu min kasrati al-buka. People say in the whole Khilafat of Umar, that was the one day he read Quran, but we only heard tears and sobbing, we heard no Quran. After Salah, everybody's nudging one another. What's the matter with Umar? What's the matter with Umar? This was Umar. He stands up. He says, Umar is no longer the Amirul Mu'mineen. I have changed my own name. I'm a killer. I'm a butcher. I'm a massacre. This is what my name is. بُعْسًا لِعُمَرْ كَمْ قَتَلَ مِنْ أَوْلَادِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Umar, how are you going to answer to Allah when your one rule has denied so many children their milk? And then he immediately amended. He immediately changed what needed to be done. And he said, every child will receive an allowance from birth. The point I'm saying, and I tie it up with this verse, the Quran said our hearts have become so numb, so insensitive. That so much can happen, but a young man can still meet up on a Saturday night, hold a girl that is haram and illegitimate, knowing that what I'm holding in my hands is forbidden, knowing that I'm absolutely in the grip and the control of Allah. أَفَأَمِنَ الَّذِينَ مَكَرُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن يَخْسِفَ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ أو يأخذهم في تقلبهم فما هم بمعجزين أو يأخذهم على تخوف. Allah says, don't you realize while you're walking I can make the earth split. أو يأخذهم في تقلبهم in your to and fro movement. أو يأخذهم على تخوف أي على تنقص. Gradually I can weaken you. I can take your strength away. الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبة. Oh, what a verse. Allah said, I started your journey. You were absolutely helpless and feeble. These are the verse of the 21st Juz, Surah Rum. الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف. When you look at the child and the milestones of a child, after 3 months if he can hold a rattle, that's a milestone. Wow, he's making progress. He was so weak and feeble to hold something in his hand, that's a milestone. He's moving. الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف. Allah said, he started on weakness. ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة. Then after that weakness and feeble nature, I give you strength, I give you power, I give you might, I give you clout, I give you muscle. And it just gets to your head. ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبا. But then this strength is followed not only by weakness, but by a senile nature, by old age nature, by a level of dependency. And how does Allah describe this? In the 14th Juz, in Surah Nahl, Allah says, وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمْرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Amazing. We're talking of dementia. We're talking of Alzheimer's. We're talking of loss of memory. Allah says, these are the words of the Quran. Many of you, I can return you back to your to childhood in your old age. So that what? لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. So that you lose every knowledge, every skill, every art, every competence that you had, and you come to the rock bottom of knowing absolutely nothing. But then Allah goes on, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah has knowledge and Allah has power. The scholars of Tafsir tell us the attributes of Allah in the Quran, they possess one meaning. Alim means Allah knows. But every juncture, its connotations are different. So it means knowing, but the implications are different. At this juncture, Allah says, I have knowledge and I have power. So I have knowledge, I know why I snatch and seize your faculties. And I have power, I can snatch it from a young man and I can preserve it for an old man. This was mentioned in Ma'riful Quran. So how many of you have lost it and how many of old people Allah has preserved it? So the point that I'm saying is, Allah has given us this opportunity. The Quran says, then your heart became so hard, it became harder than a rock. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. From some rocks, Allah says, when it splits asunder, you'll find rivers are flowing. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. Some rocks will not give way to a brook or a stream or a river, but surely some water will gush forth, meaning it will impact those around them positively. Or at its leaves, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَغْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Some rocks will fall and it collapses or falls out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars of tafsir say every falling rock is not one out of the fear of Allah. But out of all the falling rocks, this ayah compels us to believe that some of those rocks fall out of the fear of Allah. Allah says, I've mentioned to you three benefits of different rocks. But oh mankind, you haven't benefited yourself, nor have you benefited those around you. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, one incident, and then I want to speak about a young sahabi, and then, you know, draw some analogies from that. One day Sayyidina Umar, I was just talking about this, talking of the sensitivity of the heart. I need to change my life. And Umar radiallahu anhu became this great Umar, became this great giant. What did Sayyidina Umar, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? مَا مِن مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُوَقِّرُ عُمَرُ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ شَيْطَانٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَفْرُقُ مِنْ عُمَرُ. My brother, you feel honored, revered, saluted. The boys know you. The girls know you. The gangs know you. The police know you. This one knows you. That one knows you. But this is what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. There is no angel in the heaven but that he salutes Umar. And I haven't yet met a devil who's not afraid of Umar. What did the Prophet say? There is no, that's honor, that's an accolade, that's a feather in your cap. That's a feather in your cap. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had a squabble, an altercation with one person. The narration is in Hayatul Sahaba. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِنِّي لَأُبْغِضُ فُلَانَ. I despise this person. I have a bone to pick with him. Me and him, we don't get along. So somebody went to him and he said, Masha'anu Umar yubghiduk. Brother, what's the issue? I see Umar differs with you. Yourself and Umar radiallahu anhu are not on good talking terms. So when people said a lot to him, he came to Sayyidina Umar and he said, Umar, I need to ask you a question. I've been told that you dislike me, you despise me, you have an issue with me. أَفَتَقْتُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَتْقَ. Have I negatively caused a rift in Islam? Sayyidina Umar said, no. أَحْدَثْتُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ حَدِثًا. Am I guilty of any innovation? No, not at all. جَنَيْتُ جِنَايَ. Have I perpetrated any offense? No, not at all. فَلِمَ تُبْغِدُنِي. Umar said, why do you despise me? رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. Now how often we have issues with people. We're not on talking terms. We harbor jealousy. We have so many issues. And we don't make much of it. We just move on with our life. Umar, la ghafar Allahu lak. Umar, you've hurt me, and I don't forgive you for what you've done. And there'll be consequences for you in the court of Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu immediately simmered down. He said, brother, you're quite correct. When he said this to Umar, I don't forgive you, and Allah will not forgive you. If somebody said this to me, I don't need your forgiveness, my friend. I went to the Kaaba. Who needs your duas? Who needs your duas? I've sat in the company of great scholars. One person told me, you know what, I met with so-and-so, and I met with so-and-so, and I sat by so-and-so, and I sat with so-and-so. So I said, it's good you told me, because forgive me, I really didn't have any clue the way you behaved like you sat with pious people. It might sound crude and harsh, but honestly, people sat 1 second in the company. Muhammad ibn Wasi' al-Azdi was a great tabi'i. Malik bin Dinar said, Lil umara'i qurra. وللأغنياء قراء وإن محمد ابن واسع لمن قراء الرحمن. You get some king recited, some national recited, some state recited, and Muhammad ibn Wasi is amongst the reciters of Allah. Somebody said, كنت إذا وهنت في العبادة وكسلت في العبادة. When I used to feel lame and lethargic in my worship, I used to go see the scholar. And one glance from him used to motivate me for weeks in spirituality. فتنشطت في العبادة أسابيع. I used to sit there and I used to get such a spiritual boost in my spiritual drive. Just sit by this man and get that inspiration, and it used to motivate me to great heights. So we need to ask ourselves, in our context, how are we energizing ourselves? Anyway, the incident that I want to speak about, a great Sahabi, Rabi'a ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. He was a young man during the time and the era of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not immune or exempt from the aspirations of a young man. I just complete the incident of Sayyidina Umar so that we don't lose track of it. This person said to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, I don't forgive you. And may Allah don't forgive you. Umar said, my brother, please don't ever say that to me. Because if you don't forgive me, then it will jeopardize my entire entry into Jannah. When I read this, I cried. I said, Umar had every testimony in his book. Every accolade to his name. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu on the occasion of Hajj, Inna Allah baha bin nasi ashiyata arafa amma. People might be embarking for Hajj. I was in Montreal 3 weeks ago. One brother told me a very beautiful thing and it struck a chord with me. He said, in the old days, it used to take people months to get to the Kaaba. And that was a very tedious...
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.